So when you were leading worship this morning, and you were doing like the welcome, you're like, welcome everybody to worship. And you're talking about how much you love Christmas. And I was standing next to Brad Warren, and he leans over and says, do you think he's going to plug his playlist? In the instant after that, you plugged the playlist.
I've been plugging that thing since like May of 2018.
Here's what I'm saying to you. I turned around to Maddie and your fiance.
Yeah.
And she was in the row behind us with Lakin and Aaron. And I was like, he plugged the playlist. And she immediately started doing that thing where she's like, taps her forehead. Just tap, tap,
tap, tap, tap, tap. She woodpeckers herself.
Yeah. She was like, I know. But, and that really, really, really cracked me up. But here's the thing. You do plug the playlist a lot. But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go on the record. This is my official stance. It's really good, dude.
Well, it's collaborative with you. People don't know that.
No, it's all you. I added like a Nat King Cole song.
No, I think you added like 20 songs.
I don't know.
There's 70 songs on there.
I'm going to give you credit for like 68 of them.
Well, I disagree, but I think it's a good playlist.
It's very good. For Spotify users, it's called Christmas Time Is Here.
It's one word.
All one word. We ain't got time for spaces and punctuation.
No, just text me and I'll send you a link. It's great. It's objectively the best playlist I know.
We need to up the followership of this playlist.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you follow and listen to it? It's fantastic.
Here's what I'm saying to you. When let's say you're making some Christmas cookies with your family, or you got people over at your house and stuff like that. You want to set the mood. You're decorating the tree. What you need is a playlist that seamlessly, effortlessly just jumps from Ella Fitzgerald to Frank Sinatra to Bing Crosby to Sarah Groves.
Yeah, Sarah Groves is on there.
To, by the way, Ben Bannister.
Ben Bannister's on there.
I mean, just to our friend Zach Hughes. Like, it's just, I'm going to say this.
Say what you want.
It's a tour de force of holiday spirit.
It's good. I like it. I listen to it pretty much exclusively.
It's a good playlist, man.
Yeah. You're not going to find... there's no fat on there.
No, it's...
And you may be thinking, 70 songs, that's got to be some filler.
Nope. There's no filler.
No.
And we haven't even mentioned the fact that you've got some Coldplay on there.
Why wouldn't I? I mean, sheesh.
It is your playlist.
It's my playlist.
It's going to have...
If you don't know that about me, it's time you learned. It's the deepest secret I keep from people.
That he loves Coldplay.
I'm the biggest Coldplay fan anyone's ever met. Ever.
Like, how many Coldplay concerts have you been to?
I've been to two.
But how many fan accounts do you follow on various media social?
Two.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, the two major ones.
If you go to another concert, you'll start following another fan playlist.
No, I mean, like, I follow the two main ones that you need to follow.
If you could ask Chris Martin one question, what would it be?
Oh, great question.
It's a good question.
I have a lot of them. I've put that scenario out in my head a lot.
Have you?
Yeah, this is the weirdest thing about me, and I'm okay with it. Now that I'm engaged, I don't care to admit it. I think I was afraid before.
Now that you're engaged, you can just roll out all I don't the embarrassing
care,
stuff.
But honestly, like, since I've been engaged, this is so bad. Like... Hygiene's gone downhill.
We are recording this podcast amidst a literal mountain of unfolded laundry.
Yeah. Although this has been a thing, like, Maddie and I, we've had conversations like before we got engaged of like, okay, you need to know this about me. Like,
right.
We were talking about this. You need to know that, like, a lot of it really serious stuff. Like, this is how I feel about this. So, you know, we're all like checking boxes. Great.
Yeah. Political parties, Coldplay, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Since I, have like that, the whole laundry thing, she's known for a while, but like I've just let it go downhill since. I don't know. She kindly said, I'll do the laundry.
Does that mean you're on dishes though? Cause you gotta pull your weight.
Gladly. I've said, I'll do anything else. I will do anything if you will do the laundry. like I will do everything.
But like if something happens, you're willing to do the laundry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I told her that. I said, I love you a lot, so I'll probably do your laundry.
Yeah.
But
dude, you gotta be careful there. You gotta do that stuff right.
I don't.
I've ruined many a garment of Christie's.
Well, we both, I like a certain detergent, she likes a certain detergent. So
you guys like the same detergent?
Different.
Oh wow. It's a house divided.
Yeah.
It's a family feud.
A very specific detergent I like. Very specific,
dude. We're like 1 week shopping at Walmart, 1 week shopping at Aldi. When you shop at Aldi, you get the Tandil. That's not even, it's not even a brand you've ever heard of.
Never heard that in my life.
It's Aldi's version of Tide.
Oh no, I'm sorry. There's like two things I don't skimp on, and it's toilet paper and detergent. I'll spend what I need to spend to get exactly what I want. Other things,
I think that's another important marriage conversation is like, what are the things you can get off brands of, and what are the things that you have to get the name brand of? Like, if you're a person that likes the Kraft American Singles, you can't get the off brand of that.
Well, literally any grocery would be an upgrade for me.
Yeah, there are no groceries in this house.
No, no. Like, honestly.
I'm ready.
I will always get, like, the swankiest toilet paper and the exact brand of Method laundry detergent that I want. And then, but like, I just took a single Keurig K-Cup from the church because I knew I needed coffee for tomorrow.
I believe you admitted it.
I needed it. I knew I had to do it.
You're so Baptist. You couldn't not talk about it.
One time I took a rock from church. I'm not joking. It was inside on a windowsill. Okay. I was probably 5. And it was on a windowsill in the church. And I thought, that's really cool. I'm going to take it. And I got home with it. And I was like, Dad, look what I took from church. He's like, you took that? Yeah. He's
like, it's a rock, Lynn.
You stole. And I was like,
wow.
Shoot. I'm a thief.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast.
Honestly, though, I forgot to tell you this.
I'm ready.
This has happened to me twice now. And I mean, you could argue it's because of I leave my K cup supply is on top of my fridge, so I can't see into it.
Even though you're gigantic,
I'm a giant. I'm not
anybody
as tall
could
as a fridge.
See on top of their refrigerator.
But two times now I have had a cup and thought, okay, that's my last one. I've gone like I've fiddled around in there, only found one, pulled it out. Gone like 3 days and thought like, well,
it's like
I
a box of goldfish.
Just like,
you don't know how many you got running around in there.
Just like, but like 3 days of like, no coffee today, no coffee today. And then I'll have a morning, I'll wake up and I'm like, I really need there to be coffee today. And there's been one left twice now.
I think for your wedding present, I'm going to buy you a French press. You need to have better coffee.
Don't do that.
Why?
I'll never use it.
Oh my gosh. It's so good.
Of all the things I have bougie taste in, coffee is not one.
Wow.
Which is funny because I'm seriously considering opening a coffee shop right now.
I know. You're going to have to raise your standards if you open it.
Yeah, coffee serves a purpose for me, not in anything. I mean, it is to get me awake in the morning.
It's a faculty.
I made it to Maddie's house on Thanksgiving Day, and she opened the door and was like, it was like she could smell that I hadn't had coffee. Come on in. Come in. And 30 minutes later, she's like, you are a different person than you were. And I was like, it was the coffee.
Yeah. I'm going to get us started today.
Please hurry. I forgot we were doing this.
You're holding the mic in your hand. I forgot. Oh my gosh. First of all, as we roll this out, this is an exciting podcast because as we record this podcast, we are within 1/4 mile of Potsy, Jeff and Erica Mason and Ellie Mason and Robin Aaron Logan.
And Natalie Wright.
I mean, this neighborhood is blooming into just a veritable hotspot of awesomeness.
Yeah, move to Oak Ridge, people.
Man, I'm telling you. I want to read something from Matthew chapter 21. This is right around the this is the last week of Jesus's life. The triumphal entry has already happened. The cursing of the fig tree is about to happen. All that kind of stuff. But it says there's. It's not even a whole verse that I want to read. It's just like a verse fragment, but it really affected me. And it took me down a rabbit trail of thinking that I thought was really cool. So I'm going to share it with you guys. Matthew chapter 21, verse 10 says this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. I just paused. When I was reading through Matthew 21, I was just like, man, that is such a cool sentence. This one man enters the city and the whole place is stirred. That seems like something that's really possible these days because, I don't know, just like social media and people can get extremely famous worldwide. Mm-hmm. But like before picture sharing, before people know what a famous person looks like all you would have is word of mouth. Like people knew who Jesus was because people were standing around fires and around dinner parties and around, you know, wells and whatever, you know, like the water cooler at work and like talking mm-hmm. about like, have you heard about this guy? And of course, this is the end of his ministry. So, you know, extremely popular at this point. But the thing that I realized was there preceding Jesus entering town, there was like a cloud that went before him. And the cloud was like the thing that I wrote down in my journal.
He's like Pigpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the thing that I wrote down was like, there was like a rumor of hope going before Jesus. Like just people whispering to each other, like, hey, have you heard that someone's coming? Have you heard that someone's here? He's different. Like he hangs out with little kids. He like values and honors women in a way nobody does. He likes outcasts. He hangs out with foreigners. He is the friend of sinners. Like he laughs like nobody I've ever seen. Like he parties and dances. Like you should see him line dance at a wedding. Like just like things that people were whispering to each other so that in an age where there's no photographs and the only like images people saw of somebody was like the image of Caesar on a coin. That's the only person that anybody ever had an image of. Mm. Like Jesus enters Jerusalem and the whole city was stirred is what it says. Like the whole place is like, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. Oh my gosh. Can you believe he's here? And everybody's going crazy. And the thing I was thinking about was, okay, for myself, so this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but like, go with me on it. Like, I'm substituting the city of Jerusalem for my own self, my own heart and mind. And like, how could, the different parts of my life spread the rumor of hope of Jesus to the other parts that don't know it yet? So that when he shows up, I'm all stirred up, you know, like when he comes into my day, I'm just stirred up. And I was just thinking like, there are moments in my day where I'm more, I don't know, more directly focused on Jesus and more directly hanging out with him on purpose. And then other moments where I'm hanging out with other people or, you know, whatever, driving around, accomplishing things, doing stuff. And I'm like, I want those early morning moments when I'm with Jesus to whisper to the rest of my day. Moments where I feel desperate and needy and I'm calling out to him. I want those moments to spread the rumor of hope to the moments of my day where I feel like I've got what it takes and I'm amazing. I want my desperation to cry out to my overconfidence. And I want my neediness, to cry out to my overblown feeling of security. And I want my confidence in him to cry out to my desperation. And I want like the different parts of my life to like spread the rumor of Jesus. I just want to feel like, I want to feel like I'm the city of Jerusalem when Jesus entered. Like I've already been talking about him so that when he comes into my day, like however he shows up, whatever it is that he does, I'm already fired up. Like I've already rolled out the red carpet. I don't even know if this makes sense, but it's something that like, it's just something that like got me moving when I read this. It was just like, oh man, like what if the parts of my life that are really sensitive to the presence of the Lord spread that rumor about his goodness and his care to like the other parts of my life that are deaf to him or that are numb to him. And, so that all of me is like stirred up at his coming. Does that make any sense?
Of course. I think the thing that, like, I find myself in a lot of places a lot of times thinking, one, I find myself jealous of a lot of people a lot of times in scripture. I find myself jealous of whoever the people were in that town. I find myself jealous of his disciples. I find myself jealous of people who have waited a long time for this and they were the ones to witness it. I find myself jealous of people today who get to hear this clean and new for the first time, because I've heard it virtually my whole life. And when you started this thing, I initially had the thought of like, and I mean, that's all stuff that I'm like, that's all bogus, Thomas. Like I'm able to say like, that's stupid. Why do you feel that way? And I taught myself out of that. And, but when you started this, I was having one of those moments where I thought, man, it makes me incredibly jealous, of people in that town to be the ones who were on the street or wherever it was, like, you know, sipping their coffee or whatever. I don't know what they drank. I don't know what they did. I don't know what their days looked like. I don't know what the town looked like, anything, but I'm picturing like, I'm just picturing, you know, I'm in downtown Knoxville a lot for work, where I, you know, we spent some time in Barcelona last summer, and just wherever it is,
Chicago,
places, bigger cities. Knoxville doesn't qualify for any of that, but it's where I have regularly. So I can picture it. I just picture what it looks like, picture the thought of it in my head. And I started to get jealous, and I was like, gosh, I wish I was a part of that, like, chain of rumors of hope that's coming. And then in the middle of you speaking, I realized, like, he's the same. He is. This isn't, you're not hearing about Jesus who isn't that person anymore, you know, who isn't that way anymore. Like,
yeah, dude,
I get it. He's not walking into like wherever, like Tomato Head on Market Square, but like,
but he's in a way still,
he's still stirring things up, and like, he still does it in my life every day. So like, it took me from jealousy to realizing that, to thinking, as you're saying that, like, wait, what are these moments in my life where he's like, he's stirring me up specifically, you know, like, am I just missing them? Have I never thought about that before? Like, there's times throughout my day where, you talked about it today in church, just, we get little glimpses of it. And like, you were speaking specifically towards heaven. And I think there are specific times in my day where Jesus is like, hey, you know, like,
yeah, I'm here.
Look, don't miss this. And like, whether that's about heaven or just him snapping his fingers in my face and saying, hey, I'm right here. Don't forget this. Don't, you know,
Yeah.
Look at this. And like, don't chalk that up to just something else, or like an act of kindness, or, a pretty bird or something. Like, what if you credited me with that? Like, what if this was me stirring you? What if you took that for that? Even if it isn't, what if you made that a moment of like, hey, Jesus is stirring you.
But like, it has to be, you know, like if you're feeling that, it has to be. I just realized that I made a sound that one of our dear friends who is in the Morgan County Penitentiary. And when Tom is preaching, he'll just go, like he's, he's had something super delicious to eat, you know, like he's just pound the table. Like, And I realized I just made that sound when you said something awesome. That was a good one.
Gosh, I love that. Super cool. Is it my turn?
Yeah. Go.
Should I move on?
I loved all the stuff that you said. That was awesome.
Gosh, my phone is blowing up. You'd think I'm being accused of insurance fraud or something over here. I don't know what's going on. Let's see here. Okay. I've got something. This is from Psalm 43.
Awesome.
This is like, this psalm is super short. I don't want to say it's sweet. It's perplexing, and it starts off one way and it goes the other way and then it comes back the other way. And, I just want to read the middle part of it. I could read the whole thing in 12 seconds, but I just want to read, three and four. That's all I want to read. I've struggled to read tonight. I've not done well. I don't know what's going on with me.
Everything's fine.
Okay. It says, send me your light and your faithful care. And I like this version of it.
Yeah.
Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Okay. This is coming from someone just like, who needs rescuing, and who feels distant from the Lord, who's just having a hard time, I think, and feels a lot of the things that we feel daily, and are good to remember that we're not alone in. And it's cool to read that stuff in scripture. I think it's good to see, oh wait, there's someone else who's having a hard time. Okay. There's someone else who is, like, right before this, he's saying, why have you rejected me, to God? It's like, oh gosh.
Wow.
Like, it's not true, but you feel that. And I'm glad that you said it. And then, you know, like towards the end of this, this person is saying, wait, my soul, why are you so downcast? Like, chill out. I'm going to put my hope in God. You know, talking himself out of it, whoever this is writing this. But I liked I feel like I needed the sequence of events in this. Not the bad stuff, but I needed there's a few steps here. Send your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Okay, God, I need you to do this. Like, I need you to be the one who gets me to where I'm going in my time with you today, and where I'm at with you in my walk with you today. I need you to be the one who is starting this thing right now, whatever that looks like. And this one is specifically saying, like, I need you to shine a light on whatever path that is. Like, turn on the freaking flood. Like, have you ever been pulled over at night?
So
a lot. I know you have. But they shine that dang light. You know, they turn that light on your thing and you can't see anything because that thing is blinding.
I get so freaked out whenever the blue lights come on, dude, because it's just not fair. Like, when I was in high school, I got in so many wrecks, and honestly, like, insurance had to pay out to me so many times because I got hit a lot. It wasn't like they would, the findings were that I was not to blame.
We get it.
People
always roll my eyes.
People always roll their eyes when I say that part. Thank you for coughing right into the mic.
I'm sorry. Not doing well.
But like, as a result, and I've gotten a few speeding tickets, like, when I was, you know, in high school and stuff. And so as a result, I have like a panic attack every time the blue lights come on, dude. But yes, the floodlight. One time me and Charlie were driving on I-40 going back to college, and I was in the far left lane on I-40, and this cop like popped the blue lights on. I didn't know what to do. Am I supposed to cross four lanes of traffic to the right? So I tried to pull over to the left, and he freaked out. The cop. He starts honking and just like, and he got on the intercom, pull over to the right.
I don't know.
I was like, everybody's
going, I'm running
80.
From you.
Yeah. Like, everybody's flying. I'm only 19. Like, so I pull over on the right side, and then the first thing he does, points the floodlight into the car, and he looks at Charlie and he says, sir, do you have a driver's license? And Charlie was like, me? And he was like, yes. And Charlie was like, yes. He was like, then he looks at me. He's like, get out of the car. And he made Charlie drive. I guess I was speeding or something, but he was just basically like trying to shame me, saying, I don't have the right to drive a car because I tried to pull over to the left.
Did he write you a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, the shame would be worth it then.
This was the
if
worst.
You didn't get a ticket. Okay. Anyway, so the way this starts is
I'm
like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Shoot. You, like, the way this starts is, it's so clear to me that it feels like, I don't know what I'm trying to say right now. I do know what I'm trying to say right now. I can't get the words together. But whoever is writing this is saying, I need you to shine a light on this. I need you to lead me. I need you to bring me to your holy mountain, to the place you dwell, whatever that is. I need you to do this. And then when I get there, when you get me there, then I'll praise you. Which, I don't know, it just feels so interesting to me, because there are times when I get up and I'm like, okay, I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to do today. I've made my K-cup and I've opened my Bible, but I'm not feeling it, God. I'm not feeling it. Like,
your K-cup that you stole from church.
That I stole from a holy place. But there are times when I'm not feeling it and I need him to do all the work. I need you to get me there. I need you to freaking highlight all the stuff, and I need you to whatever it is. And like, there are times when I get 20 minutes into reading scripture and I close the Bible and I'm like, well, that was almost not worth it. What did I get? There's nothing in there today for me.
Not worth the calories.
And now I'm like, well, I have to take a shower. I'm going to be late to work, or like whatever it is. And like,
yeah.
It's cool for me to read that from someone who's having a hard time, which, like, I was talking to you about this earlier. I don't think I'm having a hard time right now. I do, but I do feel like I've needed stuff like this more than normal. Like, okay, Lord, I need you to shine a light on, and that phrase in our culture is so overused and who knows what it means. But what I literally mean right now is like, I need you to, it's dark. I need you to turn a flashlight on right now. That's what I need you to do. And show me what I need to read. Show me how I need to feel. I need you to spray paint it in my eyes so I can see it, or whatever the thing is. I'm not making any sense right now, but this makes sense in my head. So whoever's listening to this needs to understand that this makes sense to me. So, well, there you go.
There's so many things that I like about what you said. And one of them,
do you know what I said? 'Cause I don't know what I said.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the thing that touches me about what you said is that because one thing about Thomas, and some of you know this because you've picked up on just the frequency of it on the podcast, but like Thomas is like deathly afraid of heresy, which is probably heresy, of being a heretic.
Yeah.
And which is good. I mean, you should not want to be a heretic.
Yeah, you should be afraid. No, I'm just kidding. be afraid.
You should be afraid. Be afraid of being a heretic.
You should be afraid of being a heretic.
Like if there's anything, you know, you don't want to be like burned at the stake or anything like that. But I think, you know, it's like even in the midst of that, just saying this thing of like, okay, here's where I am. God, I just need you to do all the heavy lifting. Get me there.
Yeah.
It's like, there's part of you that would like try to talk you out of saying that. That's yeah. Like, I know you well enough to know that there's part of you that's like, don't talk about this.
Please don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Lie. Tell them all the good stuff that's happening right now.
I'm glad that you did. And this is the reason, because your God is a daddy.
Yeah.
And like, and the gentle heart of a dad is like, I'll pay for it. I'll fix it. I'll pick you up. I'll help you. I'll make it. I'll find a way out. I will find a solution. I will do this
for you. It's funny that you're saying all this because I, maybe for the first time in my spiritual life, like I have used the word father when referring to the Lord.
Yeah.
I've said that one. I've never said dad or daddy. And I think last week I wrote that. I started a journal entry like that. I was just like, that's the only, I kind of need that today. I need to be a 2-year-old. That's how I feel. I'm a 2-year-old. So let me address you like you're my dad. Amen. You are my dad. I need you to do that for me.
Amen. And so that's one part of me is like, I'm glad that you went ahead and said it, even though there was a huge thing inside your personality that's trying to put on the brakes.
Yeah.
Because he's a dad and that's what he's like. Mm. But there's also something very tender in this psalm for me. And it's because of Sandra McCracken. But she wrote a very beautiful song based on this psalm. And sometimes like scripture is, it's like, it's great, but it doesn't quite get you just because of the language, you know? And that's why things like The Message are so great, you know? But put it in language that you speak. But this verse 4, when it says, then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp. Oh God, my God. And your version said, I'll praise you with the lyre, which is, the lyre is like it's probably more like the instrument that they played instead of a harp. It was like a instrument with like doubled strings, like a balaclava and whatever.
Not a hat.
Oh, baklava. What? No, that's a dessert. Balaclava. Isn't that an instrument?
I always thought it was a hat.
It could be. There's a balalaika. That's what it is. Balaclava is a hat. Look up a balalaika. It's the, in back in the USSR, let me hear your balalaikas ringing out. It's an instrument.
I'm so glad I was right about this.
You were right.
Usually you're so much smarter on words.
No.
Words, smart. Lee.
Here it is. Balalaika. There it is.
This is what my balalaika looks like.
That's a balaclava.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Balaclava is a hat.
Yeah.
Baklava is a dessert.
Correct.
A balalaika is an instrument. It's like a lute or like a lyre.
Okay.
It's like, anyway. But which that is was probably
also like a guitar.
Yeah. So when Sandra McCracken translated the psalm into a song, she said, the first time I was listening to it, which albums do not get me the first time, but like the first time I listened to this song ever, when I bought that Psalms album that she put out like in 2015 or something.
She gets into this course. I think it was 2013 because you gave it to me for my birthday.
Was it?
It was the only birthday present I got.
Wow. Mm. The only birthday present you got?
Yeah. You sent it to me on iTunes and said happy birthday.
I came in the clutch for you that day.
I'm going to double check that.
December 30th. So if you want to get Thomas a present, you know what would be a good present for Thomas is if you would follow his playlist. But when Sandra wrote this song off of this song,
2015,
it was, she said, then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and strength. Then I will praise you with my guitar. And something about that little lyric change, it just got me because I've spent the last 25 years of my life, like praising the Lord with my guitar. And like,
yeah,
it touched me. It just was so tender for me that it was like, she just updated it. She brought the psalm that was written 3,000 years ago. Like David was alive 3,000 years ago. And she brought it to this moment for me of like, then I will praise you with my guitar. And it was like, wait, I do that. This is so tender. Like it just got me immediately.
Yeah.
And so this is not, which is not what you were talking about, but like, I can't read Psalm 43 without thinking of Sandra and that song.
And it's funny, whenever I start reading that one, I start singing the song halfway through it. Yeah.
That's when you know that somebody has written a song well.
Yeah. Send out your light and your truth. It's so good.
Let them lead me.
That's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by a Spotify playlist called Christmas Time Is Here.
It's also been brought to you by Lee's counseling sessions because I just got one for free.
You did?
Yeah, you just counseled me. It was great. I think we're going to do Christmas stuff, right?
Let's do some Christmas stuff.
Maybe starting next week.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
So if you're itching for some Christmas, like we all are, I just want Christmas all the time.
I know.
Turn on the fire hose and just put it in my mouth and I'll take it.
Of Christmas.
Yeah, of Christmas.
Friends, we love you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for sending us text messages and tweets and encouraging us.
I'm getting married kind of because of this podcast, so I feel like
gosh,
I owe a lot to it.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Man, that makes me so happy. And you apparently won't have to do laundry anymore.
Praise the Lord. That is the biggest blessing ever. Maddie will never do a dish. She'll never vacuum. She'll never dust. She'll never...
I bet you really get into vacuuming.
I love it. It's like mowing, but it's inside. It is. It's like mowing.
Do you think Tom likes vacuuming then?
No.
He likes ironing though.
I hate ironing.
And ironing is like mowing, but for clothes.
I have an iron over there and you turn it to like 10 minutes.
I've never thought about this before this minute that ironing is like mowing for clothes. That's why Tom loves it so much.
Just flatten it out.
Yeah, it's just, you can immediately see the result of your work.
I just throw my clothes in the dryer.
I'm so excited. I feel like we've had a breakthrough. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. Lee. Oh, I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. Mm. Son of God, Son of Man, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Come now, long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever.
Now thy gracious kingdom bring, by thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thy all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Come to earth to taste our sadness, he whose glories knew no end. By his life he brings us gladness, our Redeemer, Shepherd, Friend. Leaving riches without number, born within a cattle stall, this the everlasting wonder, Christ was born, the Lord of all. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, you are with me to the end. Son of God, Son of Man, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Fully God, fully man, Christ is born.